All right.
Have
Have a good day, brother. So, what is God showing you?
I was going to add just a little bit about a couple of the words that were used today. One of them was the word atonement. Mark read a big list of the meanings of the word of atonement. And I have a real simple meaning. If you divide that word up, it's at one meant, which means to become one with God. We're at one with God. That's the bottom line layman's terms of it. And the word token, back in the 1800s and in the early 1900s, a token was something that was used to redeem merchandise. Like a store would maybe hand out tokens for 2.5 cents, good for one cigar. And the thinking was, if they could get you in the store to get your free cigar, you'd probably buy some other things. So this token is something to redeem merchandise, and brethren, we're that merchandise. And I wanted to say one thing. Seth made a statement one time that a lot of people have a hard time with. And I'm going to repeat it just because I've experienced it and I believe it's true. He said that you'll never really get much of anywhere spiritually without a prophet's length fast. Now, the first thing everybody's going to ask is, what's a prophet's length fast? I would say 21 to 40 days. And here's why it's so important. When you fast for a long time, you know what happens? You begin to die. And you know what happens when you begin to die naturally? You start to come alive spiritually. And brethren, you start seeing things that you never saw before. You start understanding things in the spirit. Remember, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so, just as a couple examples, remember when Nicodemus came and talked to Jesus, and he told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And Nicodemus's reply was, "Can I enter my mother's womb a second time?" Do you think he understood the spiritual thing Jesus was telling him? You must be born again. Or how about the woman at the well? Jesus says to her, "If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for some water, and it would be living water, and you'd never thirst again." And her reply was, "Oh, yes, give me that water, then I won't have to come here to draw anymore." You think she was getting it? I mean, when we're in the natural, we just don't understand the things of the spirit. And so we must be born again. And part of being born again is coming alive spiritually, which sometimes will never even happen in your life unless you fast, because we all just live this natural life and go our merry way. And brethren, it takes a lot to fast for a long time, but it is so worth it. When you begin to come alive spiritually and you begin to see in the spirit, you know, one of the things, like when you fasted for a long time, all your senses increase like you can't believe. I mean, two cars can pass each other like that going 50 miles an hour down the road, and you can smell if someone in that other car was smoking. And you know what the sense of smell is spiritually, is discernment. And so, not only, you know, when you fast a long time, you start, your senses spiritually start to come alive, and you start to see things you never saw. You understand things you never understood before. And so it's so important. If you haven't done any fasting, I really encourage you to do that, because it's one of the greatest tools that there can ever be to really coming alive spiritually and beginning to move in the spirit. So God bless you. That's it.
Amen. Mike, the only experience I've ever had with tokens, one summer, I lived the whole summer in New York City. It was the summer of 1969. And I rode the subways quite a bit to, you know, go between where I had lived down in the New York University Greenwich Village area and worked up at the NYU Med Center. And in order to get in the subway, they have gates that prevent you from coming in. Some of them are very, you can't cheat at all. Some of them are so tight that, but they don't let you put money in. You have to go to a little ticket booth and buy tokens. So in other words, you're not putting real quarters or nickels or dimes or whatever. I don't think you could even get in with a nickel or a dime these days. I think the tokens back then were about 10 cents, I think. But it was a token, and it wasn't the real thing. So a token is a substitute for the real thing. That's all I'll say about tokens.
Mike?
Mike,
I got a question for you.
Okay.
It's a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I have nothing to lose. Okay. You said when you fast, say like 21 days or even 3 days. My husband just got off of a fast too. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but anyway. You said you begin to take on more of the Spirit of God. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is the stupid question. When you go back to eating, do you lose what you have gained by fasting?
No.
Well, yes and no. In other words, you don't have to go back to it. No, you have to go back to eating.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, but you can still retain the Spirit of God in you, even though you're going to start eating again. So I think I understand your question. Was your main question, as soon as you start eating again, do you lose that spiritual place that you gained by your... No. I mean, you can if you just disregard God and go back along your merry way again. But the goal is to hang on to what, God says his, how's that scripture go? The one about he doesn't take back his gifts when he gives them. Somebody quote me that one.
No.
We couldn't hear you, Mark.
The gifts of the Spirit are without repentance.
Yes. It's like when God does something in your life, it doesn't really leave. You can hold on to that. Even if you start going your way again naturally, that gift is still in there. And if you'll turn to God and keep, pressing him and getting him in your life and living for him, it still is in there, and it works a wonderful work that once you come alive spiritually, you're alive spiritually.
Amen.
And you can die again if you reject Jesus Christ. Some people get there and then, just like couple of the guys that traveled around with Paul, remember, they said, so-and-so went back into the world. He left us and he went back into the world. So that can happen if you let it happen, but you don't have to.
Yeah. I don't think I have ever fasted for 40 days. I never did, but I have fasted you know, a couple days here and there. But I guess what God gives you, if it's God and the Spirit of God mm-hmm. in you, mm-hmm. he does not take back mm-hmm. from us.
Right. That's correct.
He does not take back his blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it now.
Yeah. You know,
well, the whole point is that we are being changed.
Yes.
And we are being permanently changed into the likeness and image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the changes don't have to be backsliding changes. I mean, there's other ways to come into the changes of sonship than fasting, you know, but the whole walk of our overcoming is that we are being changed. And that's the thing, that's the thing that we preach, which probably a lot of churches do not preach. A lot of churches preach the love and the mercy of God and just come in, everybody, you know, we love everybody, God loves everybody. But what we're saying is the Word of God is expecting us to change. You know, all right, you come in a sinner, you're committing sin, whatever. Yes, come on in. But God doesn't expect you to remain that way. He expects his blood to be applied and that you will receive it and you will be changed mm-hmm. from likeness to likeness. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We in the natural we experience and grow by the things that the experiences that we have in the natural. We grow in the natural. Likewise, in the spiritual, we grow spiritually by the things that we experience in you know spiritually. So that's all part of our spiritual growth. You know, this idea of fasting, praying, you know, in the Word of God, whatever it is, God is wanting us to appropriate more of the Spirit of God, of the fruits of God, and His life. So it's all important. All these events in our life spiritually are important for us to grow. And remember, it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he is about within us bringing about the finality, the finishing of our faith. It is up to us to open ourselves up and to comply with what Jesus is doing in our life.
One other little thing I would say about fasting is it's one of the only ways that I've seen that the things of the world become dung. You know how Paul said, you know, once you start feeling the life of God, once you start experiencing the life of God in your life, you start realizing that this world is a bunch of dung. It's a bunch of selfishness and self-centeredness and elbowing around trying to get your own way. And you know what I mean? It's like the kingdom of God is so glorious and so great. That's why mm-hmm. Jesus said, taste and see that I am good. When you fast and experience that, you start dropping off a lot of that stuff of the world because you realize it's just a bunch of worthless wood, hay, and stubble.
Amen. You realize that this life here, you know, in the natural material, you know, our material life is so small in comparison to eternity and our life, you know, in the realm of eternity, that you put into proper perspective, you know, what this 80, 90 years on earth is. It's nothing more than a testing ground to bring us into more of the nature of Christ. And so we have to treat it that way. We have to see it that way, that it's minute in comparison.
Amen.
Oh, there's our brother. God bless. Good to see you.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. It is true that the callings and the gifts of God are without repentance, to the extent that the believer is in the faith. Now, when the believer falls out of faith, the power of God leaves him. That is, the Spirit leaves the believer. So the gift and calling that is still being manifested are in the past. In other words, that believer will be living in the past because he wouldn't be exercising the gifts and the callings in the power of God. So it is important that the believer still lives in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to exercise the gifts and the callings with power. Praise God. I do not know whether I was audible enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I share something else, Mark?
No.
This is a long time ago when Jan was with us. She used to come to church, and in fact, she left it at church, a little tiny bottle of oil. And when we would need it to pray for somebody, you know, you would take it out and use it. And, you know, we would pray for the people. And just before she went home to the Lord, I asked her if I could take it and use it to anoint someone and pray for them. And she said yes. And then she went on to be with the Lord, and I still have that bottle. And I have used it and used it and used it. And this is the kind of mystery, maybe. That bottle I have never refilled, but I have used it, and it is still filled with oil.
Wow.
It's never gone down. I've never had to refill it. I still have it.
I never knew that.
And I use it. I use it to, every time we move, I would go through, me and Larry, and anoint the doors and some of the windows and that sort of thing. And it never ran out of water, oil. I still have it.
And we've moved a lot of times since then.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that bottle was in the widow's house. You know, the Lord did say to me, I have commanded a widow to sustain you. We're going to see more of that, Madeline, in the end time. We're going to see of necessity that things are not going to run out.
Well, in a way, it even said to me that we are still filled with the Spirit of God. And we never run out.
It just sort of strikes me that maybe the Lord is, you know, just by our conversation now, encouraging us to fast and to pray and to seek Him in ways we haven't done before. Especially with the words that have been coming forth, that the Lord wants us to go deeper into Him. And the only real way to do that is by the fasting and praying.
Somebody is saying they didn't understand what Madeline was saying. Can you hear me, brother? Maybe I can say it again. She got a bottle of anointing oil years ago and has been using it when she prays for people and anointing things. And the bottle is not running dry. It remains a full bottle. Is that the one you were not being able to hear? It's been at least 20 years. Maybe I should get that bottle back, Madeline.
Sorry.
One little thing to add to that oil, if this person that didn't understand was in the story in the Bible, what had happened was Elijah went to the widow's house and she was getting ready to die. And he told her to make him a cake first. And so it was the obedience of her. It said after she did it, she obeyed God. And after that, her curse of oil never ran out. And so it was the obedience to God that made that oil stay filled. Full all the time. So that's a good lesson to us. If we obey God, miracles like that can happen in our lives.
I have a little check in my heart concerning that bottle of oil. I want to know the terms of purchase of that oil. What were the physical, that is, the words that sealed that transaction? Is it that you have to, or the purchaser has to fulfill certain conducts? How was the purchase, you know, sealed? Because it might amount to one believing in the oil instead of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a problem. So I want to know about it, you know, so that I can place my heart somewhere.
The salvation is in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The oil does not save you, brother.
Of course. That is what I... That is why it's a snare. Some people might just believe in the oil and come for it. Say, anoint me with this oil. The whole faith is on the oil, which is idolatry. So right. that is the problem.
You know, years ago, you remember Oral Roberts? Were you alive during the days of his ministry?
Oral Roberts? Yes.
Years ago, people that would write to Oral Roberts, he had this thing about laying hands on a little piece of cloth. You know, it happened one time in the Bible.
Points of contact.
Yeah, and I don't know whether I wrote to him or what. I don't think I did, but somehow I got a little piece of burlap in the mail from him. And they said, well, this has been prayed over by the great man, and you take this, and the prayer that you need answered, you know. Well, it was a little tiny piece. Well, I put it in my wallet. This is long ago, brother. I was quite, I don't know, I might have been in my early 30s or something before I really got called into the ministry. So I put this thing in my wallet and I forgot about it. And one day I found that God was really moving in my life. And I pulled that thing out of my wallet and I said, what is this thing doing in here? And I threw it away because I said, this thing did not bring me any salvation. It was my tribulation in the things of my life and my crying out to God that brought me into the open doors of the Lord. It was not that little piece of cloth. But there were a lot of people in those days that believed in that kind of thing. Yes, thank you for pointing that out. It's not the oil, it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Brother Opie mentioned that some people might believe in the oil, I just had a scripture pop right into my mind when he said that. And it was when the time when Jesus had fed the 5,000 and he went across the lake at night in a boat. And the next day when all the people woke up and Jesus wasn't there, they were all mad and they walked clear around the lake and came to where Jesus was. And he said, they said to him, when did you get here? And did Jesus look at his watch if they had him in those days? Did he look at it and say, oh, about 10 o'clock last night? No. He said, I tell you the truth. You seek me because you got your bellies full. And that's what you're after now is another free meal. So it's like that's part of what I was saying earlier. When you come alive spiritually, you start seeing through all this mumbo jumble of what people say. And you realize what's really going on. And that's part of life in the spirit. These words that people say, you see right through them and you see what they're after and you understand in the spirit. And it's just such an exciting life. It's just fantastic, you know.
Thank you, Brother Mike.
Yeah, if you go through the Bible, almost never did Jesus answer somebody's question straight up.
That's you know, right.
Remember when they came to him and they said, Jesus, there's a couple Greeks out here that want to see you. And, you know, he could have said, well, tell them I don't talk to Greeks or tell them I'll be out in 10 minutes. Instead, his reply is, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It's like, what kind of an answer is that to that question? Well, what he was saying was, oh, somebody wants to see me? They can, but they're going to have to die first. And we're not talking about buried in the ground dead, brethren. We're talking about dying to ourselves and coming alive spiritually.
Lord, are there few that be saved? Strive to enter at the narrow gate. For many will attempt, but will not be able. Didn't come out and answer the question. He just said, strive to enter in.
He who endures till the end will be saved.
Well, speaking of enduring to the end, maybe Larry would like to ask the Lord's blessing as we come to an end.
Heavenly Father, we again come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we are so thankful for all that you do for us, Lord God, all that you're doing and will do, Lord. Our faith is in you, God, and we know that you cannot disappoint us. God, you fulfill all the promises that you've given to us, Lord God. Many of them, and even now in the scriptures, have not been fulfilled. But Lord, we know they're coming. And God, again, we just express our gratefulness. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to watch over us and keep us, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters gathered here this night, this day, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for their whole household. Lord, save them, save their families, Lord God. Save their households, Lord. God, keep us in the palm of your hand, under the protection, Lord, of thy blood, Lord. Thank you for that blood, Lord. And God, until we come together again, Lord, we ask and pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Let me turn the recording off.
Amen.
Thank you.